In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and you're listening to it on 1430 ESPN, your local high school sports leader. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, as always. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about high school sports. A lot of baseball talk today, as you guys are well aware of. The first week of softball and baseball playoffs were this last week. The semifinal teams are in action, hoping to make it to the Central Section Championship games next weekend. Softball is on Friday and Saturday. Baseball championships are going to be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Visalia at Valley Strong Ballpark. So thank you guys for listening and tuning in. Love doing this show at First String Sports every Saturday from 10 to 12. Like I mentioned, I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. Looking at Letterman's Jackets to my right, Edison. Funny I should mention Edison. We're going to get to them in a second. There's Hoover, Torres, Bullard. We're going to talk Bullard baseball today. Parlier, Clovis High, Sanger, Sunnyside, Fresno Christian, Liberty, Madera. This is the only place where you can get your Letterman's Jackets. They'll take care of you. You can specialize the back, put Bible verses, put, hey, even if you're a band person, get a Letterman's Jacket. Put your band patches on as well, your academic patches. Those are extremely important. So First String Sports on Blackstone in between Sierra and Herndon. All right, so what are we going on? What do we have going on today? We got lots of stuff, like I mentioned. Mainly high school baseball. A little bit of softball talk. We'll be breaking down the scores after the break, breaking down the matchups. I should mention too, right? Got to mention Twitter, social media. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, or at 1430 ESPN. Need to get Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report on as well. Like to take care of that as we move on forward here. So 71 degrees right now, 10:07. 88 degrees is the high. Does it feel hot? Does it feel cool? It's a beautiful morning. Beautiful morning. And I don't understand this weather, right? So we got a high of 88 today. A little bit hot. Tomorrow, beautiful 83. Bumped up. Actually, 88 tomorrow. On Monday, 83. Tuesday, 88. And then we hit 90 on Wednesday. And then we got a little cooling trend for about 4 days. And then back up to 90 degrees. But that's Central Valley weather for you. All right. So what do we have on today's show? Well, it's jam-packed. Jam-packed about baseball and softball playoffs. We survived the first two rounds. Who's still standing? Who's going to be the matchups? I'll be breaking that down for you guys shortly after the break. After that, a little, around 10:32 or so, I got Kevin Patrick coming on. He's the head coach at Clovis West. He'll be joining us via phone call. They've looked really good in the playoffs so far. Have wins over Sanger, the defending champs, Centennial. We know how they won last year when they beat Buchanan with a two-out, two-strike, three-run home run in the top of the seventh inning. Well, Centennial, they battled back and beat Buchanan in the first round and came back down here, took the Clovis-Fresno area, and Clovis West took care of them. So we were planning to have Coach Jeff Prieto of Clovis North on the show, but he was unable to join us this morning. A little bit of a family emergency, but he told me everything is good, so no problem. So Kevin is pinch hitting for Coach Prieto, so real thankful to Coach KP. And you know his son Tyler, right? He got the win on that mound and hit a bomb in that first inning against Centennial, Fresno State signee. So looking forward to talking to KP. And they'll be taking on Bullard, and we're gonna have Coach Tom Donald at the bottom of hour number two. You guys aren't going to want to miss that. He hasn't been on the show yet this year. They are still alive in the D1 bracket. They came from behind to defeat Frontier 4-3 behind an unlikely hero who hasn't had an at-bat in 3 years. Can't wait to hear Tom's perspective on that. I don't want to spoil it too much, but Bullard survives, came back to beat Frontier, and going to be taking on Clovis West on Tuesday at Clovis West. At the top of hour number two, Edison Tigers are in the house. Brandon Simon, head coach, senior Cam Bowen are coming on. Guys, hopefully you saw what happened in their game when they beat LD, when they walked them off. They were down 4-2, Walked them off 5-4 to advance into D3 playoffs. They're going to travel to face Fowler on Tuesday. And Cam hit a double to win that game. And if you guys know anything about Coach Simon Edison, he was the first base coach with Coach Prieto at Clovis North. He is as animated as it gets coaching on the base paths. He was the first base coach for North, and he's the third base coach for his program at Edison. That guy is fun to watch. When the base runner was rounding second base for the winning run, his left arm was going as fast as I ever seen any left arm. I don't know how he didn't separate his shoulder. And he was running with the player down the third baseline. When he scored the winning run, he was jumping for joy. And why not? They advance. They're going to be taking on Fowler, like I mentioned. All right, a couple things before we hit the break here. A couple news and notes here. Speaking of Clovis West, they've hired a new boys basketball coach. And it may not be a name that you recognize. He is well known throughout the coaching circles, but it's not a name that I think would pop into your mind who was named the head coach of Clovis West boys program. You guys know how big of a job that is. The infrastructure is there. The tradition is there. Little Hoopsters, the feeder programs, all of that is in place. Okay? We know the machine that Clovis West boys and girls basketball has been over the years. So after Coach Wahlberg left to take the job at Fresno State, that is a big-time head coaching position to fill. So they filled it with Nick Podesta. And some of you might not recognize that. Well, what's he been doing lately? Where is he from? He's from Weston Ranch, up north. He's been the head coach from 2021 to 2024. Had an overall record of 68-26, a winning percentage of .723. Before that, he was a head coach at Carruthers. So he's got a lot of Valley ties from 2020 to 2021. And then he was assistant coach for Ed Maddock at Fresno City College from 15 to 20. He was actually named the interim coach in 2020 when all that stuff went down. So he knows Central Valley basketball. I watched his team's coach. They play San Joaquin Memorial in the playoff game. Players get after it. If there's any concern about the drop-off in coaching, I don't think you need to be concerned. He's going to do a great job. I have confidence in what he's going to bring. Now, on the flip side, Tyrone Jackson, who's an assistant coach, Clovis West, born and bred. He's part of those great teams for Coach Wahlberg back in the early 2000s. Well, he's been Vance's number one assistant, his lead assistant for a while since he's come back. And a lot of people thought that it was going to be easy. Just promote him. He's going to be the dude. Had a lot of people in his corner. A lot of people had his back. And they went with Podesta, right? So I saw some backlash on the social media. Talked to a few people as well. And it's tough. It's a tough situation. He wanted the job bad. He's a name that everybody knows in the Central Valley. Trevor Jackson's a great guy. He's been on my show before. Great guy. Always willing to talk. Always willing to help out kids. Got great rapport with the players. Got a great rapport with the younger players as well. Talking about the feeder programs. But they went with Podesta. I think not having a teaching credential probably hurt Jackson as well. They slid Podesta into that PE slot that was open. So it's tough, right? It's tough. You always root for the local guys, the Valley guys, the guys that love the program, and that was Tyrone Jackson. But they went with another guy, Nick Podesta. Again, I think he's going to do a great job. He knows how to coach. He knows how to get the best out of his players. So that job starts immediately. So that's something that we're going to definitely keep an eye on. It was a high-profile job. But I think the program is in good hands. All right, one more thing before we hit the break. You guys know what Kalinga's mascot is, right? Kalinga High School. They are the Horned Toads. Well, that name has resonated now, not only through the Central Valley and the state, but in the nation, because it was voted the best high school mascot in the country by SB Live. They had a voting process, and Kalinga, the people of Kalinga, they flooded the Facebook page with Vote Horned Toads. Regarding local media attention, you know how many votes they got? 869,672 votes. And they beat it was like a bracket, right? So you're going head to head against different schools. They beat the Miami War Dogs, and it's not Miami, Florida, it's Miami, Oklahoma. So they beat the Miami War Dogs from Oklahoma in the final. You know, they're famous for having this horned toad history. It goes back to 1935 when they had the horned toad derby. And guys, check this out. Great timing, right? It's going to happen next week. It's the 87th annual horned toad derby. It's happening in Kalinga next weekend. And they were just voted the best high school mascot in the nation. So cool stuff, fun facts I like to throw out there every once in a while on the Central Valley Sports Report. All right, we're going to take a small break right here. I'm going to come back, and I break down all those scores, who's alive in Divisions 1 through 6 in baseball. We'll talk a little bit about softball as well. Can't wait to bring you those highlights, who's advancing, and who is hopefully going to go to the Central Section Championship games next weekend. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. Whenever Jorge plays Louis Colt coming in, I always got to wait for the cowbell. All right, you got to wait for the cowbell to come in, then you could start talking. Well, referring to the famous Saturday Night Live skit with Christopher Walken, Will Ferrell. Oh man, every time I see that, I've seen that about 10,000 times, but I laugh. So. Anyway, good stuff. Thanks, Jorge, for producing the show today. All right, before I get into the scores, I do want to mention something. So last week was the CIF State Swim and Dive Championships at Clovis West. I think they started it before the pandemic, started the state swim meet. It hasn't been around that long, maybe 6 years. Maybe about 2017 or 18, actually. So it's at Clovis West, the Olympic Swim Complex. So it's a home pool. Right, for a lot of our Central Valley swimmers, including Clovis West, obviously. Their 200 medley relay won the gold. All right, shout out to sophomore Audrey Hill, Sophia Okafeder, Haley Marinovich, and Hannah Marinovich for winning state gold in the 200-yard medley. Good job to them. Good job by Adam Reed for running that event. Does a fantastic job. Next week, not only is it baseball and softball championships, guys, but it's the CIF State Track and Field Extravaganza at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Buchanan Director of Sport, Brian Weaver, does a fantastic job, and so does Clovis Unified. It is, like I said, it's an extravaganza. It's an incredible event. Unfortunately, it's the same time as the baseball playoffs and softball playoffs, right? So not able to go to both. I remember when it was like the first Saturday in June, but they moved it up because of graduations. Seems like graduations are becoming earlier and earlier. So next week, CIF State Track and Field at Buchanan at Veterans Memorial Stadium. So good luck to everybody that is competing in that event. All right, so let's talk about these baseball scores from the last week and the upcoming matchup. So in Division One, I mentioned that Clovis West, we're going to talk with Kevin Patrick after the break, the top seed, they held on and beat Centennial. Well, they held on to beat Sanger as well in the first round. They're up 8-0, ended up winning 8-4. On Thursday, they welcomed the defending champs, Centennial, Golden Hawks. Golden Hawks versus the Golden Eagles. Centennial is the 9 seed, and the reason why that is pretty significant is because last year they were the 9 seed. When they won those 3 games on the road, on their way to defeating Buchanan for the championship. But Clovis West has a dude, Tyler Patrick, was on the mound. Game went back and forth. Tyler hit a home run in that first inning. They held on for a 6-3 win. They're going to be facing Bullard. We'll be hearing from Tom Donald at the bottom of hour number 2. And Bullard, as we know, the last couple years have been knocked out fairly early. Last year, they lost to Centennial. They're shocked by Centennial. They were the top seed. The year before that, they lost to a good Liberty team. Cutter Coffee. You guys remember that name? Hit 2 home runs against Bullard in the opening round. So the last 2 years, they haven't been this far. So what's been the difference? Confidence, right? Putting themselves in different situations. High, intense leverage situations. A lot of talk because they were 15-0. Second year in a row, they've gone 15-0 in the CMAC. But they came back with 3 runs in the 6th inning from an unlucky hero. All right? 4-3. Come back with those 3 ones, like I mentioned. But they had a dude come in, Owen Thomas, who saved the day. On the mound, This kid hadn't had an at-bat in 3 years, but he was forced to have an at-bat in that bottom of the sixth inning because if they would have pinch hit, then he would have been out of the game and he couldn't have pitched the final inning. Duke comes up and ropes a double to take the lead and then closes out Frontier. So they advance. They're going to be facing Clovis West. And how awesome is that game going to be? Number one versus number four at Clovis West. Not sure the start time yet. I'm going to ask Kevin. Could be 4:30 or 6:30. I'm anticipating 6:30. But that is going to be a huge game for the Central section, for the Central Valley. Bakersfield Schools, you know, Buchanan won a couple years ago, but Bakersfield Schools, a lot of talk, how they've been dominating our teams down here in the Fresno-Clovis area. But we are guaranteed in our area, either Buller or Clovis West is going to make it to the championship game. Anticipate Jake Turley pitching for Clovis West. He's a senior headed Fresno Pacific. For Bullard, not sure. A little bit of a patchwork pitching season, right? Cade Cunningham's been their dude. Doesn't throw really hard, but incredible control. We'll see what Tuesday looks like. Again, we're going to talk with Tom Donald and Kevin Patrick. So we've got both those coaches coming on here during the show. All right, so that is at the top. At the bottom bracket, Clovis North advances, the 11 seed. They defeated Redwood, the 6th seed, on the road, 15-7. And the game that we broadcasted on 1430 ESPN, Mike Brink and I brought you this game. Clovis North, 11 seed, defeated the 14 seed Madera, who upset Clovis High 6-5. 7-1, Clovis North wins. They had a freshman on the mound. Davis Wilson pitched a pretty darn good game for a freshman. Wyatt Prieto, Jeff Prieto's son. So check this out, guys. Not only in the track, but still alive in the Division I playoffs. The sons of two coaches that are still in are high-impact players, extremely high-impact players. Wyatt Prieto missed the last 3 weeks before this week of the playoffs with a hurt shoulder. Dude comes back against Clovis, against Redwood, hits a home run, right? Jump starts this team. Against Clovis North, he hit a RBI triple in the second inning, hit a home run, give a little more breathing room to make it 7-1. And he actually pitched an inning. I was a little surprised. He pitched the sixth inning. Madera did him some favors because they swung at the first pitch that he threw, grounded out, swung at the second pitch to the second batter, another ground out, and then struck out the last hitter. So Wyatt Prieto for Clovis North, making an impact for his team. Tyler Patrick, obviously, for Clovis West. And who's Clovis North going to be playing? They're traveling down to Liberty Bakersfield. So one Bakersfield school is still alive. Right? They took out Stockdale 8-1. So Clovis North traveling to Liberty. And they are tough at home. They are really tough at home. So is Clovis North feeling like they're playing with house money? I don't know. I don't think so. They're playing to win the whole thing. We know the great start that they had. They beat Clovis High in the Fresno Easter Classic Championship. Then they ran into a huge lull without Wyatt Prieto. They lost 6 of the last 9 before the Redwood game. So again, to recap, Clovis West Bullard on Tuesday, a game that we are going to broadcast on 1430 ESPN. Can't wait. At the bottom of the bracket, Clovis North and Liberty. And that's going to be Saturday, the championship game. The winner of both those games at 7:30 at Valley Strong Ballpark in Visalia. Obviously, Valley Strong Ballpark, commonly known as Rawhide. We kind of know it as Rawhide, but changed the name, got the right. So Valley Strong Ballpark it is. And, yeah, like I said, it's going to be high level baseball. Really excited. So congrats to all four of those teams. All right, in Division II. Now, Division II is filled with some schools that aren't really Fresno, Clovis, Central. Atascadero and St. Joseph's are playing on Tuesday. Atascadero is the 9 seed. They upset the number 1 seed Cabrillo 3-2. St. Joseph beat Ridgeview 7-5. So those two are going to be playing on Tuesday. And Lemoore. Lemoore's got a good team. Defeated Templeton 7-4 in the opening round and then defeated Fresno High 4-2 as the 6 seed. And they're going to be taking on Bakersfield Christian, the defending D2 champs. They shut out Sierra Pacific 8-0. On Thursday, before that, barely got by San Luis Obispo 5-4. So it's Lemoore and Bakersfield in D2 at the bottom of the bracket. At the top, Atascadero and St. Joseph. Now, Division 3, very, very interesting. All right, so at the top, I mentioned Edison. They're going to be in the house. Coach Simon and Cam Bowen are coming in at the top of the hour. What a wild, wild ride it's been so far for the Edison Tigers. At the top of the bracket, the 16 seed beat the 1 seed on Tuesday. El Diamante got an 8-inning no-hitter from a sophomore, defeated number 1 Pioneer Valley 2-0. Edison then played Emmanuel. Emmanuel was base D4, got bumped up. Edison, base D2, got bumped down. Right? Emmanuel, what did they do? They put up a 5 spot in the first inning. So before Edison had an at-bat, they were down 5-0. They came back, scored 4 runs in the bottom of the first, obviously added some more, and defeated Emmanuel 9-6. And then that game against LD, the walk-off by Cam Bowen to beat him 5-4. They're going to be facing Fowler. Their game was yesterday. It wasn't played on Thursday against Porterville at Porterville. And Fowler's had 2 really tough games. And in the opening round, they defeated Washington Union 5-3 and then held on to defeat Porterville. They got a run late, beat them 2-1. So it's Edison Fowler in Division 3 at the top. At the bottom of the bracket, Central Valley Christian. They were in that really tough division in league with Kingsburg and Kerman and Sierra Pacific. So they defeated Mount Whitney 7-6 and then defeated Exeter 11-3. They're going to be facing Kingsburg. Now, I got a lot of ties to Kingsburg, right? I teach near Kingsburg, know a lot of those people over there. Coach Cranford does a great job. They're playing a really good Garces Memorial team. Kingsburg found themselves down 4-0 last night at Kingsburg under the lights. Bunch of errors. I think they had 5 errors down. They came back and scored, 3 runs in the 6? Found themselves down, getting text updates. Bases were loaded. Gavin Enns is up. Runners on 1st and 3rd. And with 2 outs, scores tied 5-5. And I predicted it. I texted my guy. I said, I'm predicting line drive single to left. And sure enough, live drive single to left. Kingsburg walks it off. Escapes with that win, and they're going to be facing Central Valley Christian. So that is a 2-3 at the top of the bracket, D3, Edison and Fowler. A couple really, really good games. I wish I could watch all of those games. All right, and D4, I want to mention D4, 5, and 6 for sure. Liberty defeated Reedley. That's Liberty Madera in Division 4. They're going to be facing Menachi, the 12 seed, and Mission Oak advances, and they're going to be playing Independence from Bakersfield. Mission Oak is the 3 seed, Independence the 7. Independence got by Taft 2-1. Taft was the 2 seed. Now, before the brackets came out, it was Liberty's division to lose, right? I mean, it's the field against Liberty. I'm taking Liberty, right? There's nobody really, no offense to the other teams that I see in that bracket, that can match Liberty. They're a 10 or 12 team in the Valley overall. They're in Division 4, so again, Liberty and Menachi and Mission Oak and Independence in D4. All right, let me scroll here to D5. Torres, the 1 seed, is going to be facing Sierra. And Shafter, the 3 seed, is going to be facing Fireball as a 10. Sierra's the 5 seed. And check this out, guys. You're not going to believe this. Been around baseball for a long time. Coached baseball for a while as well at the high school level. Sierra played Dawes Palace in round 1. And then East Bakersfield, both home games for the Chieftains. Sierra combined, you ready for this? They combined both games. They scored 43 runs. 43 runs. They beat Dawes Palace 26-14 and defeated East Bakersfield 17-13. So they gave up 27 runs in both games and won. So something's got to give when they face the number 1 seed, Torres. All right, that's just remarkable, remarkable stuff. All right, in Division 6, it's going to be Woodlake against Lindsay and South against Chavez. I should mention the when these championship games are going to be. That's going to be at 3:30 on Saturday, the Division 6 game. The Division 5 game is going to be Friday. I lost my tab there. There it is. Friday at 7 o'clock. And Division 3 is going to be Thursday, the Thursday night game. All right, I got to mention softball here. Can't forget softball. So in Division 1, Central is alive. They are the defending champs. They're going to be playing Frontier at home. And Clovis North is going to be facing Buchanan. Clovis North defeated Kingsburg 7-3. And Buchanan defeated Bullard, I believe, on a walk-off in the bottom of the 7th inning. So it's going to be Central, Frontier, and Clovis North. And Buchanan in the semifinals. In Division 2, I want to give them some love as well. It's going to be St. Joseph against Clovis West. St. Joe's the 1 seed, Clovis West the 5. Mishinoak, the 6th seed, and Menachi, the 10th seed at the bottom of Division Two. All right, a little bit of a wrap-up, tiny bit of a preview as I go solo on all that stuff. But we want to definitely hear from the coaches. We're going to be doing that the rest of the way moving forward on the show. After the break, we got head coach Kevin Patrick of Clovis West Baseball on the line. Can't wait to talk to him. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for joining and listening. You can always listen on the website, 1430ESPNFresno.com, or the app works. I know a lot of people, if they miss something, or you can even go back and listen to the games that we broadcast on the website. It's pretty cool, pretty cool. All right, what's also pretty cool is the run that Clovis West Baseball is currently making right now. We got head coach Kevin Patrick on the line. It's Golden Eagles are the top seed in D1. They're going to be playing Bullard at home on Tuesday. They're running practice right now. They're at Stan Bledsoe Field. So I definitely want to thank KP for coming on this morning. KP, what's going on today?
Hey, Paul, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All right, so light practice in the yard, right? So obviously your game was on Thursday, probably another light practice on Friday. So what are you guys just doing, some light bullpens, doing some hitting on the field? What's going on today at the ballpark?
Yeah, you know, Saturdays has been typically pretty light. You know, we like to come out and just basically this time of the year stay sharp. You know, we get guys, guys need to throw bullpens, and we also get some swings in the cage. But, yeah, like you said, it's light, and, we'll get the guys in, get them out, and, you know, get them ready to go on Monday for a great practice.
And obviously it's great to be practicing at this time of the year, but this time of the year is also grad party time. And I know your son Tyler is graduating this year. You're going to be hitting up some grad parties today. I know I got like three or four to go to, but you're going to have some going today?
Yeah, I know there's some going on today. Tyler's was actually last week, so we got that out of the way. And yeah, like you said, graduation's coming up here in a couple of weeks too. So it's an exciting time of the year.
All right, so I had a daughter graduate from Bullard last year, and we put a lot of work into the backyard. We had to tear down a deck and the bottom carpet we need to pull out. So it was a huge, huge undertaking. Did you have to do anything like that, or did you guys mainly hang out in the house, or did you have to clean up the backyard and stuff?
No, we did it in the backyard. It was a lot of work. We had some good help, though. So, like you said, it is a lot of work. There's quite a few people that came over, and it was a lot of fun. Good celebration for Tyler.
And those 4 years certainly go by fast. We're going to be talking about Tyler here in just a second. So we got to talk baseball, obviously. So after beating Sanger 8-4, I believe you guys were up 8-0 in that game at one point. The defending champs, they come to town. You know what they've done this year. We've seen it. I mean, these guys are road warriors. They don't back down. They have great at-bats, but you had Tyler on the mound. Just walk us through that game, because in the first couple of innings, it was a back-and-forth game.
Sure. You know, and we knew going into it wasn't going to be an easy game. We did beat them earlier this year, 15-4, but, most people don't realize that game. We were down 4-3 going to the sixth inning, and we scored a bunch of runs. I think we scored 12 runs late or something like that. But, and then obviously they came to town and, beat Buchanan on Tuesday. And, we knew it was going to be a tough game. The nice thing about it is, the pitcher that they threw was the same guy that we faced the time before. So, we kind of had an idea, on how to attack him. And our guys did a nice job. Obviously, we gave up a home run in the first, and then we hit one in the bottom of the first and, never really looked back from there.
And that home run in the first was by Tyler. So when did you guys take the lead? So was it 2-2, and then you guys came up with a couple more runs to make it 6?
No, it was 1-0, and then we went ahead 2-1. You're right. I think they did tie it, and then we went ahead after that, and then never looked back after that.
So did Tyler pitch a complete game? Correct.
He threw 6 innings, gave up 2 runs, and then Brody Santos pitched the 7th inning. He's pretty much been our late inning guy recently. Yep. Towards the last half of the year.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. So, Kevin, how important is it in playoffs to score early, right, to get that early lead, to maybe take some pressure off, especially pressure since you guys are the top seed, everyone's gunning for you this year, but to get runs early in playoff games, how important is that to get the team relaxed and to play their type of game?
Well, one of our offensive jobs is to score first, so that's huge. But, it's not always going to happen, you know. And, you know, one thing about our team is they've been resilient this year, and they've found different ways to win games. You know, we've had to, you know, we've gotten leads and kept them, but we've also shown some great character and coming back late in games and finding ways to win games late.
Talking with Kevin Patrick, the head baseball coach at Clovis West. All right, so let's go back the last couple seasons. You knew that this senior class combined with some really good young players would have the chance to be a really good baseball team this season. But how has this team, you know, matured over the last couple of years physically and mentally? We had Coach Pat Ware on the show a few weeks ago, and he just talked about the mental toughness has improved. And obviously they're a year older, but from your perspective, how much has this team grown? How important has that been with the success of this season?
Well, you know, like he alluded to, you know, they are an experienced group, and you know, you can't substitute for experience. I think more than anything, they're confident. You know, they roll into the ballpark and they believe they've got a chance to win. And also they like each other, you know, and that's key. You know, team chemistry is important, and, you know, a lot of these guys have been playing since they were 9 years old, and, you know, and I've had a chance to watch these guys grow, a lot of them grow up, and, you know, it's been pretty special. You know, we started out the season 4-3, and I think since then we've gone, you know, 22-3 or something like that, you know, so it's been a nice run, and it's been nice to see things evolve and us play baseball the way we're capable of.
Yeah, overall, you guys are 25-6, and you guys won the track by going 13-2. If I would have told you at the beginning of the year that you guys were going to be track champions, playing in the semifinals of the D1 playoffs, would you have been like, yeah, that was the expectation with this team this year?
You know, we were confident going into it. Every year, you know, we expect to compete for a track championship. You know, and we, you know, our guys all set goals before the season starts, and I think every single one of them put, you know, win a track championship and a valley championship. And we have meetings with the guys at the end of the fall, and, you know, we told them, you know, we do think we have a chance to compete, and, you know, now it's just up to them to go out and get it done. And obviously, you know, they've done a great job, you know, not only on the field, but in the weight room and getting their bodies, you know, in good shape and you know, help put us in a position to win ball games.
Yeah, and I've seen it this year too, Coach. I think I've watched four or five of your games this year, and it seems like the approach at the plate has been solid. It's been better. They're not taking a lot of poor swings. They have, you know, they know the pitch levers, what they need to do. They know situational hitting. Is that kind of the case with your players 1-9, especially at the bottom of the order, right? A lot of talk about the top of the order. Those are your run producers. But your bottom of the order, man, those guys are giving you good at-bats as well.
You know, they have, and I'll be honest, you know, that's the reason why we've been as successful as we have been. I think, you know, it hasn't, you know, we've had some good individual seasons by quite a few guys, but I will say this, you know, 1-9, you know, those guys at the bottom of the order have carried us when maybe some of those guys at the top weren't, you know, went into a little mini slump, you know, here and there. And, you know, it's been a collective effort, you know, 1-9.
And your pitching has been solid. You settled in. This season, I believe it was Jake Turley was your Tuesday guy, and then Tyler was your Wednesday guy. But playoffs are different, right? So you only got those two games in the playoffs, so that sits nicely for you. But I assume that Turley's going to go against Bullard?
You know what? We've got some decisions to make, and whatever we decide, you know, we feel confident in it. You know, both Turley and Tyler have both been really solid for us. You know, as has Santos, and then Nolan Santion's another guy that's been really good for us out of the bullpen. So, we'll see what we're going to do on Tuesday.
Yeah, good job by you, Coach. I see what you did there. All right, so I want to go back to Santos, how much of a weapon that he has been late in games. You know, you could bring him in the sixth inning, and he could throw a two-inning save if you need a dude like that. But how valuable has he been for your pitching staff?
Oh, he's been huge. You know, he actually had a little bit of an injury in the fall, so he kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start for us, you know. But, you know, last year he was a starter. This year we've basically used him out of the bullpen. He's had a couple spot starts, but, you know, he's been huge late in games. He's a guy that can come in and throw a slider for a strike. And, you know, when he pounds the strike zone, he's awfully tough.
No, he is, and he's pretty tall, right? Is he about 6'1", 6'2"? Kind of throws over the top.
Yeah, he's about 6'1", 6'2".
Okay.
Yeah.
Who are some other players? I want to get to Tyler here in just a second, but who are some other dudes? You mentioned Santian at shortstop, and he's thrown a little bit as well. But who are some other guys that have really stepped up for you guys this year?
Well, I mean, I think if you're looking at the on the offensive side of things, it starts with Mark Anthony Carroll in the leadoff spot. You know, I believe he's hitting 380, 390, somewhere right in there. Dominic Dequeno's had a huge year, and he's shown a lot of courage. You know, he basically tore his labrum early in the season. He's pretty much been playing with one shoulder all year, and he's fighting through it, and he's having a monster year. I think he's hitting 423 or something like that now, and he's hitting right behind Tyler, so he provides some good insurance right there and picked us up and had a bunch of clutch hits for us all year. The left side of the infield with Mateo Martinez at third base and Nolan at shortstop, you know, that's been huge. Our junior catcher, Micah Bregoza, has been really good for us. Like I said, it's really been fun to watch as a coach and as a coaching staff and watch these guys develop. It's been a lot of fun.
Is there one game, Coach, that you can point to that maybe was a turning point in the season? I know you mentioned you started off 4-3. Is there a certain game or a point in the game you're like, okay, this team turned the corner a bit?
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. Going back to that first Centennial game, we were 3-3 at the time and kind of scuffling and weren't really pitching great. Weren't hitting great at the time, and then put up 14 runs that day, and we've really been pretty good and consistent from then on out. So I'd have to go back to that first Centennial game to kind of give us a kickstart.
All right, so let's talk about Tyler for a second. We know the year he has had at the plate and also at the mound, headed to Fresno State. So from coaching perspective, what's impressed you most this season, his plate approach or his mound presence?
I think more than anything, just his leadership, what he brings to the table, and he's confident every time he goes out there. I really like to see him on the mound because he competes and gets after it, and he's had to work really hard to become a better hitter, and he's had, obviously a really good offensive year for us, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him progress and as a ball player.
What do you think, I know you're trying to win a Central Section Championship, for Clovis West, but what do you think he's going to play at the next level at Fresno State? What are you hearing? Like, is he going to be on the mound, or is he going to get plate appearances?
Well, they recruited him, with an opportunity to do both. So we'll see what happens. I think probably he might be further along as a pitcher, in terms of getting in there and getting innings right away. But he, like I said, he's really kind of turned the corner as a hitter as well. And when he catches, he's a really good defensive catcher too. So I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, either way, I'm excited and I'm awfully proud of him.
Absolutely. And I got to ask, though, where did he get his pitching skills from? Didn't he, you or brother or dad, you guys got some pitching skills? Where did he get those from?
It wasn't any of the Patricks, we're all about 5'8", and he got lucky, 6'2", he just worked hard at it, he really gets after it in the weight room, I don't know. He's done a lot of it on his own, I'll be honest with you. I mean, he's got some good, obviously Billy Seamus does a great job with our pitchers, and he's kind of helped him take the next step. But my dad's worked with him a lot from the pitching side of things. So he's done a lot of it on his own, but he's had some good help along the way too.
And one of the things that I love about pitchers that are also hitters and that could play the field is when their uniforms get dirty. They're diving into second base or diving at home, scoring a run. And I've seen Tyler's jersey be super, super dirty when he's been on the mound, and I love that. Okay, Coach, I want to ask you about your matchup Tuesday. So first of all, I got to know, is the game going to be at 4:30? Is it going to be at 6:30 on Tuesday?
It's going to be at 4:30.
Going to be at 4:30. Okay, so we're going to be broadcasting that game on 14:30 as well. So if you're not at that game, you can listen to us here on the station. Look forward to bringing you that one. What kind of crowd are you expecting, man? It's going to be one of the great semifinal matches in recent years. A lot of history between the two teams. Just lots of storylines. But what are you anticipating as far as crowd wise and what the atmosphere is going to be like?
I think it's going to be a great crowd. It's going to be an electric atmosphere. It's looking at the weather, it's not going to be in the 90s, it doesn't look like. So we should have some pleasant weather as well. And our guys are excited about it. I'm sure Bullard's excited. It's going to be two really good baseball teams getting after it. And I think, it's the only D1 game in town. The other game's in Bakersfield. So, should be a lot of fun.
I agree, and the D2 games are going to be not here in the Central Valley as well. I know there's some good D3 games. We're going to have talk to the Edison guys here after the break, but yeah, just history-wise, I don't even know, Kevin. Do you know the history between Clovis West and Bullard? Like how many times they've played? I mean, it's not a matchup that you see a lot. You know, we know the great Clovis and Bullard matchups in the past, but Clovis right. West and Bullard, is there a ton of history between the two schools?
You know, not really. I'm probably my first 10 years here at Clovis West. We pretty much played them every year, but it's been pretty sporadic the last few years. And obviously, you know, Bullard's, you know, got a great baseball history and tradition, and we know that, and we respect the heck out of them. And, you know, I'm expecting a great game on Tuesday.
No, I am too. It's going to be a great matchup. What, going over scouting report, actually, you know, you're not going to give too much here, but what types of, you know, problems does Bullard present? We know they can hit the ball. We know they can field the ball. Sure. So, yeah, so what kind of issues do you think you're going to have against that Knight team?
Well, we know they're a sound ball club, and they do, you know, they play well in all facets of the game. You know, they've got, you know, their pitching staff's been good. They obviously hit. I think they've got, what, 4 D1 guys in their lineup, you know. So we've got our handful. But, you know, we're confident in what we do, and we're just going to try to focus on us and, you know, playing baseball to the best of our ability.
I agree. We've got about another minute here, Coach. All right, so you're a San Francisco Giants fan. We know that, right? So what? How would you assess the Giants this year so far? I know they've had a lot of injuries, but what's your take as a fan?
Yeah, you know, it's been, you know, obviously a little inconsistent. I thought, you know, going into it, you know, they'd be a little better, a little more successful by this point. But and then obviously losing Lee the other day for the season, you know, that's going to hurt them. But, hey, on another note, though, former Golden Eagle Tyler Ferguson's making me more of an Oakland A's fan now, too. And just want to give him a shout-out. I'm awfully proud of him. He's obviously the first big leaguer that I've had an opportunity to coach. So, you know, they've been on the road for a while, and I'm hoping when they get back into town we can get up there and watch them play.
Yeah, I should have brought that up. Totally forgot about that. Yeah, let's just talk about Tyler for a second. I talked to a few people that faced him, and they said, like, his changeup, even at the high school level, was unhittable, and then he'd come back and, you know, be pumping 92, 93 by you. So how fun has it been for you to watch a kid like that just evolve, go –
You know, it's been awesome. It's been great. He's one of my favorite kids that I've had the opportunity to coach, not just because of his talent on the field, but just his work ethic and what he did in the classroom and everything that he brought to the table. You know, going to Vanderbilt's pretty special. I had an opportunity to go back to the College World Series in 2014 when they were there. So that was special. And then, you know, grinding it out in the minor leagues for the past 8 years, you know, and sticking with it, and, you know, it says a lot about him as a human being and what a special person that he is.
Absolutely, we root for those guys. Okay, Coach, thanks for coming on. I know I called you around 9:35 and said, hey, can you jump on at 10:30? So I always appreciate you. You're on the ready for me, and you always do a great job in these interviews, and you've done a great job coaching, and your staff have, you know, reached the semifinals of D1, not by accident. You guys put in a lot of hard work. So good luck on Tuesday, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate everything you do.
All right, that's Kevin Patrick, head baseball coach at Clovis West. We'll take a tiny break and then go up to around 11 o'clock and then bring in some Edison baseball players as well. So you're listening to 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room, so the ambiance is always, always perfect here, talking about high school sports, talking about high school baseball, a little bit about softball, but mainly about baseball today as we are now approaching the semifinal games with eyes on the prize. Next weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, championship games in Visalia at Valley Strong Ballpark. All right, we got Edison in the house right now. baseball, Coach Brandon Simon, Senior Cam Bowen. Tigers in the D3 semifinal after they defeated Emmanuel, 96 in the first round. And El Diamante in a wild game at home on Thursday in walk-off fashion. So, first of all, like Edison Letterman's jacket right here to my right. Perfect. Cam, you got yours?
Yep.
You got yours? All right. How decorated is it? What do you got?
I got a whole bunch of stuff to add from basketball and baseball. Just trying to finish it out.
You got Bowen on the back?
Yes, sir.
Got Bowen on the back. Coach, I don't think I know. Where'd you play?
High school?
You were Edison,
yeah,
through and through.
Grad.
98. You got one
yes,
or not?
Yes, I do.
Is it decorated?
It's decorated. Yes, it is. Very much so.
I know I got mine still sitting in the closet. I tried to put it on once, and, man, it was way too small, man. It looked like Chris Farley in that movie, right? Fat man in a little coat. So that's my Letterman's jacket. But, this room is awesome. I love it. I want to talk about that incredible playoff game, right? I was following on Twitter while broadcasting the game. Then I, saw the highlights. But, Coach, just kind of walk us through that game against LD. You had a home game because there was an upset. They beat the number one team. So you got that all-important home game. So just kind of walk us through that entire game, if you could.
Well, once again, man, we started out a little slow like we did the game before. But our guys never felt like they were ever out of the game. I mean, if you were at the game before, we got down 5-0 against Emmanuel, and then we answered back. But one thing about our kids, man, they understand what the assignment is. They get it. They understand it. They never felt like they were out, man. It was just a matter of time for us to get going and get things moving. And once we did that, I mean, you saw the outcome. And our guys, like Cam said the other day, we're not trying to die today. we're trying to live to see that we're trying to get to our next practice. We want to practice the last practice of the year. We want to be there. So they understand it. We got it, and they understand it too. So I mean, we're all on one page and one accord. But Cam came up big. I mean, I expect that out of him. I mean, he expected it out of himself too. It was no pressure. Even though he was to two strikes, he felt no pressure. He just knew he had to get the job done, and Cam did what Cam does.
All right, so I saw it was tied at one point, 2-2, mm-hmm. right? And then they took a 4-2 lead, mm-hmm. correct? So what inning did they take? They take the lead.
No, actually, we took the lead.
Oh, and then they came back.
Yeah, they came back.
Okay, when did they come back? Like the fifth inning?
That was the fifth or sixth inning.
Okay.
Sixth inning it was.
All right. So yeah. Then tied up 4-4.
Yeah.
So you guys shut them out in the top of the seventh.
Shut them out, yeah.
And so walk us through that bottom of the seventh inning. What was the sequence? Who led off
okay.
and then who got
so,
on base?
So here it is. So, I mean, we had we dropped a few bunts on these guys. So, I mean, they all know we can run a little bit. So El Diamante brought their third baseman in extremely close.
Came hard.
Yes. And our left fielder, Donye Thomas, flips a base hit over the third baseman's head. And, he had that lefty spin, so it kicked to the foul side. And he just, double out of the box. It was a close play, but like I said, it had that lefty spin, yeah. and it kicked to the left once it hit. And we were pushing it. And then we go Cam. Cam comes up.
First base was open?
First base was open.
Oh, man.
First base was open, running on second base. We had a few things we could have done, but we were like, we tried one, and we were like, no, let him go. So he did what he did, and then I'm pretty sure you guys saw my arm, man. I was waving it like crazy. Because I was a little upset. I was waving it so much because if anyone saw my runner, the ball was hit over the left fielder's head. He actually went back to second base. So I was like, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go. So I'm moving. And, we end up winning the game and then walk-off fashion, man. And it was good. It was a good feeling.
That was a great feeling. All right, so I want to talk to the guy to my left, Cam Bowen. So – all right, Coach laid out the situation. You got a dude on second. Maybe you're thinking butting your head, right? Get that guy to third, less than two out, and all it takes is putting the ball in play in a good spot, and you guys win the ball game anyway. But just walk us through. So you see your guy get the double, you're coming up to the plate. Is it just like, yeah, I'm built for this? Or what? Just walk us through your mentality to that, and then the pitches that you saw.
Tight situation. We had Jordan close the game out pretty well, so I was like, I got to have my guys back, and I got to do a job to move this guy or score him. And Coach Galarza, he was just telling me, do this job, and we got to see it live another day. And that's just what was going through my head.
So you took one pitch, like one pitch was – and then you got down two strikes?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Man, I got down to two strikes. Just got to stay calm, two-strike approach. Coach is telling us to always stay calm in that box, just be ready for anything.
Did you choke up at all, or are you just like, nah, I'm just going to – nah, all right. Nah. So was it a fastball, curveball? What'd you hit?
He threw me a two-seamer. It was a fastball. I'm surprised he threw me a fastball. I was hoping he'd throw me a fastball because I was timing him up pretty much the whole game. But I just got – I was blessed to get that ball, and I just drove it.
You barreled it.
Yeah.
You barreled it. All right. So was it like a surreal feeling when you saw it off the bat? You're like, that's going to do the job? Like, what was going through your mind?
Actually, I was just rounding the base. I was just trying to get the second. I was thinking of my sister, how she won the city county game off of a double when she graduated. And it was a good moment.
That's a great moment. Yeah, your sister, a really good softball player as well. So Coach, just describe – what this guy brings to the program, and he's probably the heart and soul, one of the guys that's the heart and soul of this program. So just describe what Cam brings to the program to Edison.
I mean, he's electric. He's a leader. He picks our guys up. He does so much for us that I would want a guy on my team like him. He can lead the team. He can lead the team in a dugout. He can lead the team on the field. He's just a natural born leader, and that's a good thing that Cam has, and that comes from his upbringing, obviously, right? I mean, he's a natural born leader, and that's what he does.
He's a five tool kind of guy too, right? He could catch, he could throw, he could hit, he could run,
yes.
Right? He could do it all.
And whenever we call on his name, man, no matter what it is, he can get the job done. Like when I call his name, I know it's a possibility. Can we get it done?
And he came through.
Yes, Coach. No. Yeah. Okay. He'll get it done.
And talk about the upbringing a little bit, right? I'm going to get to that maybe a little later. Talk about your lineage. You did mention your sister, great softball player, but like, how is your upbringing, being a sports-minded family, right, helped you? Become the player that you are?
Tell me a lot. Either it's been on the court or just watching my sister's softball games, her just growing up, my dad coaching, just always around the game, just watching it, just taking it in, just like adding it to my game. So I'm extremely blessed to have that growing up.
Baseball-wise, though, what do you feel are your strengths on the baseball field?
Speed, power, just being energetic, really my biggest tool, just being energetic. That's got me by so much.
And I've seen it. I heard it. I went to the Emmanuel game, man. I saw you put everything on display, and then obviously your game-winning hit against El Diamante. All right, Coach, I want to go back to this a little bit. So I did mention my opener that in your win against LD, I saw the video, man, that rotator cuff, that left hand, right, swinging that thing. Has that been the most excited you've ever been maybe in a baseball game?
I mean, for me, man, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm a high energy guy, man. So it's always there. It never changes for me. Like in any moment, I'm never too high. I'm never too low. But my energy is always the same. And I talk to those guys about that all the time. Hey, man, maximize your energy, maximize it, because I know it's hard for other guys, other teams to match that when you're there. It's hard to get there. So if we're all there, and I'm there, players there, the other team has no shot. So my energy is unmatched, and I feel like I don't care who it is, no one can match my energy. No one can match it, and I've been like that all my life. So I'm a high energy guy, and I feel like the kids feed off me. So when they see my energy up, they respond.
Is that true, Cam? Like when Coach took over the program this year?
Year one.
Year one. when Coach took over the program, like, when did you realize, man? You probably knew him a little bit, right?
Yeah,
but, like, this dude's different, man. I could feed off that energy. Was there a moment when you realized that?
Yes. This best baseball coach I've ever played for. He's very passionate about the game. He's taught me so much. It's blessed, good to have him. Great for the program.
How do you hit fungos too, Coach? You're a fungo guy?
Yes.
How's this fungo game?
It's
on point?
Yeah, it's on point. Have us running all over the yard.
He makes you work for it out there. You've been playing mostly center?
I've been playing a little
bit
right.
A little bit of right?
Yeah.
Mostly right?
Mostly
right field? All right, I want to talk about this phrase that you guys came up with maybe before the year, during the year. I don't know, Coach, explain it. And Cam mentioned it in the video. Our friend Gabe Camarillo was there, interviewed you. You said, "We are not dying today." You guys mentioned it earlier in the broadcast as well. Coach, what does that mean? What was that born from, "We're not dying today"?
Well, we just want to live to see another day. That's it. Like, so that day, we're not trying to die, not literally die, but we want to get to the next game. We want to be there in the end. So we can't afford to die today. Today isn't the day. All right, we want to get to, like I said before, man, we want to get to that last practice. We want to get to that last practice, and if we're not focused, if we're not dialed in, it's a possibility that we won't get to that last practice. So that's just something that I came up with, and I'm like, hey, man, we're not dying today. We're not ready. We're not finished yet. We're ready to rock and roll. Let's go. And then they took it on, and we're rocking and rolling with it. Hey, we're not dying today. So you're throughout our dugout, you'll hear it throughout the game. We're not dying today. Even when we go down 5-0, we're not dying today. Not today. We're not finished yet. There's still work to do. So continue to push on. Continue to show what we're worth. And that's it. That's what it came from. It's nothing really big. It was just something, hey, we're not dying. I don't want to die today. Not today. So let's keep playing and take it on. Take it to the next level.
And the kids have definitely had that mantra throughout the season. I want to talk about the beginning of the season when you and your staff took over. Like, what was your expectations, right? You talked to a lot of first-year coaches. They're like, hey, by, you know, year three, I want to establish the program at this point. You know, by year four, I want to be competing for a Central Valley championship, right? They have different kind of like, ideas about where they want to see their program. When you took over the program at Edison, what did you want to have in place?
Man, I wanted to change the mindset, and I wanted to change the culture of Edison baseball and as a whole, meaning on the back end, the stuff that people don't see, and on the baseball field. And I really wanted these guys to understand, like, hey, we have to grow men up. All right, we have to turn boys into men. Because at some point, Cam's going to be gone. At some point, our seniors are going to be gone. So I really push boys to men, trying to turn these boys into men and giving them guys life lessons on, hey, this is how it is. Please take it in. And understand when you come out here or whatever you do in your life, hey, I mean, do it with a purpose. Anything you do, do it with a purpose. Everything has a purpose, go do it. Don't do it halfway. Do it with a purpose. So that was my goal, man. It was really simple. Really simple to just go in, like, I know what I need. I know what they need. I know what they're missing out on. And I know what I have to come in and put in and input with these guys because I know what they're missing. So that was it.
And it's worked. And it's worked. You guys are now in the semifinals. You're going to be taking on Fowler. I want to talk about that game, upcoming game, in just a second. But, Cam, for you, right, senior year, right, you had a lot of goals. You're a basketball player. I watched you play basketball during your high school career as well. You know, what are some of the life lessons, I guess, you and your teammates have learned being in the program this season?
We just got to stick together. It's a brotherhood. You'll probably never, ever get to play with these guys ever again. One-time experience, Coach Greggs, he's told us he's been a part of the force, and he said, like, he's had a lot of guys that he doesn't see to this day that he'd still take a bullet for, and we try incorporating that into our everyday game. So we just got to have each other's backs, and that's, like, the biggest thing. It's the experience that matters.
And you got a senior laden team, right? You got a lot of seniors on your team, including Cam Bowen right here. So, coach, just talk about some of your players you want to give shout out to. I mean, how have you guys arrived at this point in the season still playing baseball?
Our goal has been the same since the beginning, since we took over the job. It's been a roller coaster, right? It's been a roller coaster. You know, I mean, nothing's never easy. Our senior group, man, I got to push for those guys. Our senior group, man, we got Josh, we got Rossi, we got Leonard, we got Hondo, we got Joe. Who else, man? Who am I missing?
Who are some of your
this guy right here? They've been the glue. They've been the glue, man. But like I said, we've had some ups and downs. We've had some highs and we had some extremely lows. But you know, nothing is ever easy, right? It's always tough. Anything that's worth having, right? So they're starting to rise right now. They're starting to get hot at the right time, and that's what we discussed, it man. Hey, being hot at the right time. Be hot at the right time, and you can win everything. So, but like our senior group, they're.
And your pitcher that came in, so I saw him against Emmanuel, right?
Yeah.
Came in, is it Hondo?
Yeah, Hondo.
Came in the last inning.
Yeah.
He was pumping some juice.
Yeah.
So when he's on the mound and when he's on, what type of pitcher is he?
I mean, he can dominate. He can dominate the team. When he's on and when he's locked in and our defense is locked in behind him and our offense is locked in, he can dominate just as well as Josh, though. When Josh is on, he can dominate. So, I mean, I think that's the strong point on our team. If we can pitch a little bit, we can pitch. And if our guys do what they need to do behind them and we do what we need to do on the offensive side, we're actually pretty deadly. So, Our guys are, like I said, man, they're locked and loaded. I left practice today, man. And those guys, hey, those guys had a look on their face like,
we're not
let's
done
go.
Yet.
Yeah.
We're not dying, yeah.
Yep.
So, Coach, what do you feel like Edison baseball is overlooked a bit, right? You feel like you play with a chip on your shoulder, or do you just, like, cancel out outside noise? Like, how do you approach that?
I think it's always been overlooked. I really don't worry about what the outsiders say. I really don't. I mean, it's not about anyone else. It's about us. So as long as we do our job and we do what we need to do, everything else will take care of itself. So we don't really care about the noise. You know, take care of home, take care of ourselves, and then everything else will take care of itself. So I've been in the program for a while before I left to North. I was there for 13 years. So I know what it's like. I know what it's been like. I know what it looks like. So, I mean, but who cares, right? Go get it done. Who cares how they feel about you? Go get the job done. Who cares? So we take that attitude out there and believe in ourselves. I don't think I think we're a hard team to beat.
You guys went 7-8 in the CMAC. You played against some high level teams this season as well. Fowler, right? So what do you guys know about Fowler? You know that, you know, they got a couple good pitchers over there. They got that tight game against Porterville that they went on the road and won yesterday. So, Coach, you're playing Fowler at Fowler, nice ballpark, right? Pretty big ballpark as well. So what do you know about Fowler?
We know they got a big arm. All right, we know they're a good a well coached team. So any well coached team, man, you just understand that they can play. So you can't go in there half stepping, right? You can't go in there without your mind being right. So our mindset has to be right, and understand, hey, we're road warriors now, all right? So you got to fight against the team and the crowd. So understand that going in and believe in yourself. All right, we can't be divided today, not today. All right, we got to lock in and lock our arms and understand it's their home field. So, but we have a little deal. We say, hey, man, hey, this is our – because we win a lot of games at home. Hey, today, this is going to be our – this is our home. This is our home today. And when we leave, they can have it back. And that's how we get our minds right to where we go on the road. And that's it. But, I mean, we know it's going to be a good game. Ball game is playoff baseball. So we're excited about it. Our guys are excited about it. And like I said, their mindset is right. They have the right mindset right now.
Talking to Edison coach Brandon Simon and Cam Bowen. Cam, I mean, just your senior year, you got that walk-off hit against El Diamante. You know, we've seen the videos. I mean, it's one of my favorite videos of the year so far. You guys celebrating Coach Simon coaching third base. Waving this guy in. But, you know, just talk about your teammates, Cam, and what you love about your brothers, not only on the basketball court, but also on the baseball field.
What I love about my teammates are they're all different. They all have different personalities. But when we get on the field, we all have one goal. And, like, it's just I just love those guys. They all bring something different. And I'm just grateful to have them, and I wouldn't do it with anybody else.
What's your pregame preparation like, Cam? Like before the game, you got to get some food on you. I don't know. Well, you guys played the 6:30 against Emmanuel, yeah. Right? The LD game was 6:30 as well.
Yeah. Or yeah. No, 4:30.
That was 4:30. You guys played at 4:30. Yeah. So what's like pregame routine? Like you got to play catch with a certain guy. Like you got your guy. I got to play catch with this guy. Or are you allowed to listen to music? I know. I heard the music piped in. So like what goes on before the game?
So probably I get out of class like at like 12, go with one of my friends like Larry Payton, like one of my brothers, like really great. We just listen to some music, play a catch with Donye Thomas, came from Clovis East. Just that's pretty much it. Get the stretching in and get ready to go, get ready to roll.
And you also played basketball this year. Like, what are some of your favorite moments so far? I know you got another great moment coming up. I think you're gonna have a great game against Fowler, but what are some moments, some high school moments that are gonna be taken with you for a long time?
One of the biggest high school moments is me finding out that Coach B was gonna be the coach at Edison to bring back the culture, the winning side. Like that's probably the biggest moment that I've ever had, like just of high school, is knowing that I get to play for someone that I know has a very big passion for the game.
What does that mean for you, Coach, to hear that from one of your players in year one?
That says a lot. That says a lot, man. I appreciate that. I've never known that, so that's good to know, right? Like I said, Cam, man, Cam is the glue. You know, he steps out. He tells his friends wrong from right from wrong. You know, it's hard to lead guys. And I tell them, hey, man, if you want to lead this team, you got to be able to tell your friends that you hang out with when they're wrong also. You have to be able to tell them that. So, I mean, he stepped up and he's done that. So I applaud him for that.
That's awesome. That's a great moment right now. All right, so, Cam, I can't let you go without asking you about Uncle Bruce, right? Bruce Bowen, Edison legend, 3 NBA titles with the San Antonio Spurs. You watched a lot of his highlights?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Check him out on YouTube every once in a while?
Yeah, very gritty, very gritty. Love watching him.
Well, I mean, he wasn't, you know, wasn't the most recruited guy out of high school, right? And then makes it the NBA, becomes one of the greatest defenders of all time, one-on-one defenders. What's you got a favorite highlight from that you've seen from Uncle Bruce?
Man.
Because I know he guarded Jordan. I know he guarded LeBron, right? He's there, you know, I've seen him dunking in the finals and, you know, playing with Manu and Duncan and all those guys.
Man, my favorite moment probably just is watching him defend Kobe. Just watching him just guard him. Just like poetry in motion, even though he still got buckets. But it's just cool watching him guard. Very gritty, very gritty.
So how often do you get to see him? I know he lives in Texas right now, right?
Yeah.
I know he's coaching a high school team. Actually was able to come back last year to Clovis West. But when was the last time you hung out with him, swapped some stories?
Actually, I got to hang out with him like on my birthday this year. They came down for spring break, and he brought Ohani and Osmel, his cousin, or his sons, and it was great. His son might be coming out here to play basketball at City. So I'll be seeing more of him pretty soon.
That's cool. That's cool. He sounds like an everyday guy, man. It sounds like he's just one of those cool uncles that happens to be a three-time NBA champion. So that's cool. All right. So a little bit of discussion. We've got about another minute here. So it's something that, I don't know, I've been asking random people on my show. So LeBron, Kobe, or Jordan. Cam, who do you got?
Jordan. Jordan all day.
Jordan all day. Coach?
It's a no-brainer, Jordan.
Good answers. Good answer. That's all I'm going to say. Good answers.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Right? That's the right answer. You guys gave me the right answer. All right, so last question here, Coach. What would it mean to make it to the D3 Central Section Championship and win the whole thing? What would it mean for the kids and the program?
Oh, well, it'll mean the world to our players, our parents, our staff, our admin. It'll be the biggest thing since I don't know, but yeah, it'll be a big deal, man. It'll be a big deal just because I think Edison needs that. I don't think they've won any. I can't remember when the last time they've won like anything that big in a while, sports wise. But it's needed. It's needed for the community. It's needed for the school. It's needed for everything.
Well, the program is in the right hands with you, Coach. Thanks for coming on, Cam. I've been able to watch him. He actually went to school with two of my daughters. He was right in between. So I have one that was ahead of him, one was below him. So enjoyed watching him throughout his career, and then coming to Edison and making your own legacy, Cam. So really quick, 3.9 GPA, right? I saw that. College?
Really, I'm going to go Reilly College.
What are you going to play?
Baseball.
You're playing baseball. There it is. All right, you heard it. Going to Reilly College to play baseball. So thanks, guys, for coming on. Really appreciate you. And perfect timing winning these baseball games to get you guys on. So thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank
you. You bet. All right, coming up next, we got Bullard High School baseball coach Tom Donald. You're listening to 1430. All right, got Coach Tom Donald here. After some Queen, another one bites the dust. Bullard's certainly done that this season. Tom, thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate it. Let me do a little bigger intro. D1 semifinals, you're playing Clovis West, mm-hmm. the top team, after your come-from-behind 4-3 win over Frontier on Thursday. And one of the great things, Coach, that I love about being in the Central Valley is what I just saw right now. Right, Edison, they're in your league. Cam Bowen is here, mm-hmm. right? Coach Simon is here. And on the way out, you guys are talking, and you sure. guys are encouraging each other, and you're talking shop, right? You only had a couple minutes. But that,
right.
how neat is that, right, when you see other teams thrive, right? Mm-hmm. Teams that you support, and you know the players, and you're like, yeah, that's a good baseball player. When you see teams thrive and you encourage them.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Brandon does a really great job being a first-year head coach at Edison. And you want to see the CMAC conference do well, right? And we're pulling for each other, especially in playoffs. Maybe not so much, you know, during the regular season, because
sure.
why would you, right? But, you know, in the playoffs, we want to represent our conference, and we want our guys to run as deep as we can. And, you know, we're very fortunate to be in a semifinal. We feel great about it, you know, and we're happy for them, Edison as well, you know, because it just – we need – you know, we want to – You know, I think people look at us as sort of a second-tier conference, but we play good baseball too. Maybe not as deep as the track, you know, I think is what they'll tell you. But we play a good brand of baseball in the CMAC as well.
I agree. I've seen a lot of your games this season. I've seen Edison a couple times as well. So let's talk about your team. Mm-hmm. So Frontier comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Right, seems like Bakersfield schools kind of have the same MO, right? They got
yes.
a couple dudes, but they're gritty. They grind out at bats.
Mm-hmm.
They always seem to have you know, somebody in the 7-hole or 8-hole gets a big
yes.
hit, right?
We've seen right.
that over the last
yeah.
few years. So, I mean, what concerned you about Frontier coming in, right? And playing, you know, playing your strengths against some of their weaknesses, like
right.
how did you see that game shaping up?
Well, we played them early in the year, and we were able to jump on them early, you know, and kind of took them out of the game earlier in the season, and what you worry about is your team going to show up flat? Well, I didn't think this team was going to show up flat because we know what's at stake, right? This playoffs. Somebody said bonus baseball. It's like, well, we're not going to call it bonus baseball because that's got to be our expectation, right? We are a postseason team. We want to be, you know, every year we want to be a postseason team that's going to make a run, you know, deep in the playoffs and things like that. But, and we also knew that, you know, Frontier was going to be better, you know, and they were. You know, I think we shocked them the first time we played them in terms of just the runs that we put up in a short amount of time. And I don't think they really had time to recover. We knew, you know, Brandon Borner's their head coach. Great guy. Good coach. They're well-schooled, you know. And so we knew it was going to be one of those gritty, kind of tough baseball games because we're kind of matched. We matched up pretty well in terms of lineups and pitching and things like that. But I just, you know, I think the win on Thursday really came down to just toughness. You know, I think we were really tough at the end because when, you know, when you go down 1-0 in the fifth and then we answer back, you know, Keenan Gomez gets a big base hit and drives in Alex Jimenez, you know, who had stole a base earlier, and to tie it right in the bottom of the fifth, 1-1. And then their big guy, Logan Judd, comes up and we leave a breaking ball up and he just pounds it over the left field fence. You're kind of like, oh, you know, that momentum swing thing, right? But we talk about we've got to try to stay even keeled as much as we can, but it's a high emotion game, right? Because there's so much at stake. You know, so rebounded well a little bit from that. But then, you know, they tacked on another one on a wild pitch, and so we're down 3-1. And it's like, okay, you know, and their guy's throwing. And, yeah. You know, he's keeping us off balance a little bit. He's doing a good job on the mound and working, you know, pounding the strike zone. So, you know, for us to get those runs in the sixth was kind of one of those, like, magical moments. You know, we just kept kind of grinding. But sometimes I think you make your own magic, you know, with gritty toughness from your heart. You know, and you have the backing of your teammates, you know, that, and there was no quit in our dugout, I will tell you that. You know, senior leadership was tremendous that day, you know. So to come back and win that in the fashion that we did was just kind of one of those things of like Bullard lore, I feel. You know, like, wow, this is one of those games people are going to talk about just because of the individuals involved and how we did it.
All right, so let's talk about those individuals. So down 3-1, guys ended up tying the game 3-3.
Right.
You had to make a tough decision, right, in the top of the seventh.
Correct.
Right? So you took out Munger on the and then who'd you bring in? And just say the name and then talk about the rest of the game, because the lore is in this right here.
So we are down 3-1, you know, and we are able to, you know, scratch a couple runs across. And we knew that he was this Owen Thomas, right, was the pitcher that we'd brought in after Munger. And we put Munger back out in left field, who'd started as DH, right? So we lose the DH, and now, you know, Owen Thomas has to come into Chirito. Braden Chirito started in left. He has to come into his spot. And we looked at it and said, okay, he's the sixth hitter this inning. I said, if we get to his spot, we have definitely pushed one or maybe two runs across. I said, if it's tied, he stays in and he hits, doesn't matter. If we're down a run, then we'll put Chirito back in, and then we're going to go with Wyatt Rosenthal, sophomore, to hopefully close out the seventh or go. But for all intents and purposes, it was all about keeping Owen Thomas in the game. We needed him to throw the seventh. So what is, you know, we load the bases, and then, you know, really we got I'm trying to remember exactly how that inning started. Munger goes off with a he goes base hit. And then Jake Porter works a walk, so we've got runners at first and second. So we bunt with our five-hitter, Gannon Silva. They kind of make a wrong call, and they throw the ball to third. So now we got bases loaded, and, you know. So then the young sophomore comes up, Stubby comes up and gets a walk, drives in runs, and now it's 3-2. And so it was just from there, you know, we hit into a double play, and 6-4-3, but the tying run had scored. Right, and so now we've got two outs, game is tied at 3, and the winning run at third base, and his spot comes up. Literally, I'm just looking
what
at
you
him.
Talked about, right?
I just, you know, it's one of those, okay, look, I want you to take a strike, and then I contemplate just having him bunt, you know, just to tie it up was great. And you know, so I said just stay up there until you get a strike, and then go to banging, right? And that was really like, okay, here we go. Let's get ready for the seventh. So lo and behold, the kid hits a ball into right. And it's up there in the air a little bit, you know, right center. And I'm thinking, oh, get down, ball. Get down, right? And the ball gets down, and it kind of kicks away from the right field a little bit. He keeps running, ends up at second base, it's bedlam, right? Our kids are going crazy because Owen Thomas is a pitcher only guy for us that transferred to us, and he hasn't hit any batting practice all year.
Yeah, that was my follow-up question.
Yeah.
Right? Have you even seen him step in a cage and hit anything?
Yes. Well, I will backtrack that a little bit. There are days, there are games when our – if we put up a zero, right, in the game before, we let the POs hit in practice the next day. So he has had – you know, he's swung about 10 times, right? Okay. Like this. But he's also was a former player that caught, and so he – you know, he had some hitting experience, but he hadn't seen a live pitch. And,
yeah.
I mean, come on. And for him to hit that ball and then to have the wherewithal, you know, to actually see the ball bobbled and continue to go to second was just, you know, it's just one of those magical moments, you know. And then so he drives in the winning run. We go up 4-3. You know, the next guy hits a ball and he's coming around third. And I thought, oh, please just catch the ball.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't pull a hammy.
Yeah, I didn't want to play at the plate. I didn't want him to slide. I'm like, all right, it's because you did your job more than you'll ever know, right? And so as he crosses home plate and the third out is made, you know, people are going crazy. All his teammates, they just want to be a part of it, you know.
He's got a pitch. Guys.
And now you got to go out there, right? And so I just grabbed him by the shoulders and literally just being mobbed. And I said, stop.
Yeah.
I said, look.
Yeah.
And he was as calm as I was. I mean, he was just like deadlocked in. He goes, I'm good, coach, I'm good. And so he goes out, and their DH left-handed hitter just scalds a ball, right? Hits it right back at him. And all you hear is a ping and a catch. And you're kind of going, and he just catches it, and he gets back on the mound, and we're like, what is going on here, right? It's like Remember the Titans or something kind of moment. And so then he gets the next two guys to punch out, and game over. It's just like, wow, you know, so... But he's practiced that way, right, and put himself – and he's pitched this year. He's done a great job for us. And he made the City-County All-Star game, you know, and he didn't play much prior to coming to us, you know, if at all. And so it's just a great moment for him and his family, you know, and his parents, and great moment for our program. The kids love him. He's just been a great fit for us, you know, and Owen is just a blue-collar kid.
With those types of – situations, those outcomes that happen right now, you know, the lore, the magic moments, right? Is that just a byproduct of the last couple of years? I mean, let's be honest, right? Last year, the centennial loss hurt. Year before,
right?
Hurt first round. I mean, I mean, right? Like, is it just a byproduct of going through those times for these seniors and just kind of like, well, hating to lose and taking that with you and just coming up in the moment and doing it.
You know, it all that happens way before that game ever, you know, that playoff game ever happens, right? It happens in Summer Bowl when you start to instill the culture and what we're about and what we're trying to do and who we want to be and, you know, things like that. So, you know, we try to play as tough a preseason schedule as we can, you know, which helps us, I think. And then we play some gritty games in the CMAC and, you know, I just think it has to become a thing. Like, you know, it's just the expectation. Somebody sent me a text yesterday about bonus baseball, and I'm like, no, this isn't bonus baseball. We're supposed to be playing baseball still at this time, you know, and that's the mindset we have to get with our kids. And we took a step closer to doing that.
Yeah, winning baseball, right? Like, winning baseball, hating to lose, all those things, right? It's like, right? I mean, that's it's a mindset.
Yeah, you know, and I have to tip my hat to our seniors, you know, like a Beckett Zavork and a Keenan Gomez. You know, Keenan gets that huge hit with two strikes, and he's the guy on the mound. I mean, talking about a big day himself. You know, it wasn't just the Owen Thomas story, right, that day. It was all the times that he'd pitched out of situations. And here for him to get that base hit to tie it up. And Alex Jimenez comes off the base, you know, comes off the bench and steals a base in a critical situation. Right. If he doesn't steal that base, if he's not successful, then he doesn't drive in the tying run. And so we might be down 1-0, then 3-0. So there's just, you know, I think big baseball games come down to like 4 or 5 plays in a game, you know, and stealing that base was a huge moment. And looking back, right, to tie it.
Yeah.
And for Keenan to work that count to get that 2-strike base hit was, you know, just, you know, tip your hat to him. You know, and Gannon Silva getting that bunt down, you know, because he had an opportunity earlier in a game to maybe do some damage, and he didn't come through like he would like to. But, you know, good team baseball to get that bunt down, you know, to load the bases in the sixth. And so, You know, it was it's a total team effort. It really is every time. Guys that come off the bench to pinch run or pinch hit or whatever that might be, or go play defense, defensive replacement, you know. And so, you know, you talk about guys like, and, you know, our guys, Brant Munger, doing a great job for us. You know, he's found that magic a little bit on the mound, you know, and he runs it up there pretty good. And it's just been a season long of work. I mean, it's taken all season, you know, to get to where we are. And so you cherish it.
So bumps in the road at the beginning of the year, you guys were losing these one-run games.
Yeah.
You're now up to 16 wins in a row, 15-0 in the CMAC. How have you seen this team progress from the beginning of the year to where you guys are now?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing has been their mindset, you know, in terms of an expectation to win and an expectation to really practice at a higher level. You know, I'm blessed to have a great coaching staff and guys that demand, you know, excellence, and guys that, you know, like, you know, John Sylvie and Corey Anderson and Joe Kemp and Trenton Kemp and Bobby Chambas and Brady, and we just, you know, all these guys, you know, on Mike Noakes, of course, you know, and that just push kids, you know, and just to do to practice at a higher level, so that in a game it's not so like, ooh, now I really got to pick it up. No, that's how we practice, so that's how we got to go. But I think that's the biggest thing. This group has helped pave that way for future teams a little bit more. You know, you add a little bit more each year. And this year, this senior class has done a great job of that.
Talking with Tom Donald, head baseball coach at Bullard High School. And I think the JV team went, 26-1?
27-1. They lost game two of the year, 5-0 to Clovis High. And they have just, since that game, man, it's like, who wins 27 games?
Yeah.
Like, really? Yeah, it's really, you know, but that's – I tip my hat to my JV staff, you know, Carl Perry and John Taylor. Those guys they're in it to win it, you know, and they're great guys. That's the thing. They're good men, and they hold those kids accountable. I think that's a big thing. Accountability is a big thing. And those kids responded well to it, you know, and it's not like it was always, you know, rainbows and butterflies.
Sure.
There are bumps along the road, you know. Kids just do things that, you know, you kind of go, why would you get in trouble to do that? You know, whatever, you know what it might be, but you know, so they're just, you know, they have their role in the program, you know, and they need to do a good job, you know, and Jensen Verhalen and Ray Nyland, my freshman staff, they are in it, right? They're in to win. And, you know, we took three freshmen from that class and put them up in the JVs and left them with, you know, three guys that they really, those kids always counted on, you know? And so for them to, you know, perform the way they did was just gritty. They were gritty this year. You know, they worked hard, you know, and I think that's just that mindset thing that we talk about. If those ninth graders and those 10th graders are looking at those juniors and seniors or those varsity guys that are really getting after it, right? It's just like, that's the expectation. You know, I was really fortunate after our game the other day, we had a bunch of little incoming ninth graders going to come work out on our field after the game. And I got a few minutes just to talk to them, like, did you just see what just happened? They were like, yeah. I said, that's not luck. You know, that's just working and working and not giving up. And it was a really good teachable moment. And I probably had 35 to 40 of them there that are coming into Bullard next year. And we're really excited about that group that's coming in. And it just makes it highly competitive. Like this summer, I have enough players for two varsity teams. So it's going to create a lot of competition for jobs next year, you know, and depth. And that, I think that was something that I had at the former school over there at Buchanan, and we're getting there now at Bullard.
Well, depth, pitching-wise this season, right? A lot of question marks, but dudes have stepped up. And
yes.
Cade Cunningham, right, is just
– yeah.
Did he come out of nowhere or did he not? I mean, he worked on it, and dude throws strikes, and it's not going to overpower you. He doesn't pass the eyeball test, but he wins baseball games.
Logan did a great job for us this year. I think
Logan,
he won,
sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Won 10 games. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot of games. But he is a strike thrower, every bit of the word. And he commands the strike zone with three pitches. He has a fastball that he'll spot at different, you know, and he's got a breaking ball that he can sneak in there. And his changeup's really good, you know. And so he did a good job. I mean, he had a great year. You know, unfortunately, he hurt his knee in the little dog pile thing at post game, And so he's in a brace right now, it's feeling better. I know he's feeling better, but it's like, what are the odds, you know, that he's going to, you know, come up with a bum knee like that? But he's okay. I think it's just a bone bruise and things like that. So, but Logan did a great job for us on the mound, you know, and Owen came out of nowhere, you know, started pushing people right away, you know, and Braden Chirillo, he threw some innings this year for us, you know, and so it's been a team concept. Trust me.
I want to ask you, Coach, too. I could talk baseball with you all day. I wish I could. But you mentioned hard work. Doesn't happen by luck. All these situations you put yourself into, you know, whether it's right after the game working on your field, taking care of your field, whether it's a bullpen, right, whether it's in the cage, whether it's in the classroom, right? To you, what's the difference between what a player thinks, yeah, I'm working hard, between the Tom Donald, you got to work hard? What's the difference between that level?
I think they have to be taught. You know, I think they don't mistake motion and activity for actually getting work done, right? You can say you're over there in the cages and getting your work in, but are you really? Are you going through the motions, or are you working on that ball in or that ball away or that breaking ball off the machine? Are you really locked in and working to try to get better? You know, and it's not always about I took 200 swings today. Well, that doesn't matter. That's activity. I would rather you take 50 quality game-like swings because you're going to get more out of that. So you got to kind of teach kids what is work. Are we taking ground balls? You know, so like we take, you know, we do individual defense every day, you know, for 15 minutes. And you have to be ready by ground ball number one. If we're already at ground ball number five and you're just now starting to field them cleanly, you've wasted your time and the coach's time on those first four ground balls. Because what are you doing? You're going through the motions. You're not locked in. You're not trying to get better. Your mind is elsewhere. No, the answer is ground ball number one in our defensive individual sessions is when you start to work on it. Not ground ball five, but we'll say it every day. It's not ground ball five, it's ground ball one. It's ground ball one, you know, and so that is part of that mindset thing, you know, that carries over and filters down into our JVs and our freshman teams because we have two fields, and so they're up with us for a little while, especially the beginning. So I think it's just a combination of so many things like that, right? You can't pinpoint any one thing that's going to make you turn your program around. It's a multitude of things, right, that it takes to be a competitive program. You know?
And you've coached a lot of really good players over the years, major league players and D1 guys. You know, this year's team, what, four D1 seniors, right? Four D1 seniors that you're able to coach. How do you rely on those seniors to take charge of a ball club? Is it right? They've probably been in the program for 3 years, right? 3 year guy. I know Beckett was hurt last year, obviously. But,
right.
You know, when you're coaching up these guys, how much do you allow them to lead the team?
They have to be taught how to lead, right? They're just, and there are different leadership styles. There are rah-rah guys. There are guys that get out front, right, and going to be vocal. You know, like a Stubby, like a Nick Stubblefield, you know, and a Keenan Gomez will get out there, and he'll get out there, you know, and again, get vocal with it. And Beckett will be that way, you know, and then, you know, Jake Porter is that way. So vocally, you know, is one way, and then you just have to work, you know, and it's not those D1 guys that do all the work.
Yeah.
It's that backup pitcher. Sure. It's that guy in the bullpen. It's that PO that works on the mound after the game or after practice every day and make sure it's groomed and it's ready to go. It's the backup catcher, you know, Dawson Lee, that works at home plate every day, right, after practice with Jake to get that, you know, the home plate area just pristine and nice. You know, it's those backup outfielders that are catching, that are, you know, getting all the baseballs, you know, in the batting cages after practice. Everybody doing their thing.
Yeah.
You know, but and it doesn't matter if you're a starter or not. The expectation as a senior is that you are going to lead by example one way or the other. And we go as our senior goes. That's just it. If you lack senior leadership, guys that have been there and done that, you're rudderless.
Yeah.
You really are.
Yeah.
So you have to have – and you just tell them from day one, right? This is it. You're it. You know, we're gonna. Our expectation for you is X, Y, and Z. And you have to. It has to be a mantra. It has to be every day. And it's not just conversations on the field. It's conversations. It could be text messages. It could be in your classroom. It could be anywhere, right? That it's just. It has to become something that they accept. And you don't. And you keep them accountable about it, right? And so. And that takes time.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does.
And it's worked this year. We've got a couple minutes here, Coach. Clovis West, you played a ton of games on that field.
Yeah.
what first of all, it's going to be electric. It's going to be an electric atmosphere. We're going to be broadcasting that game as well. Just come ready to play baseball. It's going to be a tough game, isn't it?
Yes.
They're the one. You guys are the four. It's played out, and here we are.
They're the hot team. They really are. They're trending in the right direction. You know, KP does a great job over there with those kids leading that ship. And Pat Ware, that running the offense and, you know, working with hitters. You know, come on, Pat. And then you get Billy Sima. So you got all these D1, former D1 guys and professional guys coaching over there. And Billy Sima's doing, working with the pitchers. And, you know, they have a good thing going.
Yeah.
You know, and you can tell their kids are spirited and they're into it. You know, and they're well coached. And they do this, and they do all the small things. You know, and so, you know, I've often said that the semifinal game is really the hardest one to win.
Yeah.
Because you're just 7 innings away from the big time, right?
Yeah.
And so, it's going to be hopefully it's going to be a good ball game that we play well and try to hang in there with them. But at the same time, we've earned the right to be there, as they have. So we respect their program, and I think they respect ours. And it's just going to be good old-fashioned camaraderie terms of coaches knowing each other, you know, but really wanting to beat them, and them really wanting to beat us, you know, kind of thing.
I agree. It's going to be great stuff. It's going to be great theater. Coach, unfortunately, we got to wrap it up. That's all we have for today. But thanks for coming in. I always appreciate you coming in to First String Sports. It's going to be a whopper of a game on Tuesday, and can't wait.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Sorry, guys, for running a little late. Thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to Brandon Simon, Kevin Patrick, Cam Bowen, and, of course, Tom Donald. And thanks to Jorge back at home base. You've been listening to 1430 ESPN. Have a good week, everybody.